He will give him the time, not you. You don't. But if it happens that time is given to this, okay, wait a minute. Here is the point. Suddenly, don't be frightened. Yes, knowledge is an opponent, but not a worthy one for the passion inside a human being. There is an exception over there, because first of all, there is a difference between this knowledge and the other knowledges. Let me tell you about the exception in the knowledge. Because over there everything is the rule, right? But even there, the exceptions are there. Where is the exception? Here, researchers. Because when we are doing researches, we look for a lot of useful stuff. But there are some real good ones, exceptional ones. Remember them, because they are the help that you could have. Within these old sorcerers that are helping Pharaoh, there are two fellows who won't. Because they are real researchers only. When they receive this invitation of Pharaoh that these two stupid fellows are bothering us, come and I will pay you this and that, I will do this and that for you, come and get rid of these two sorcerers. Everybody accepted. It was a good offer. These two fellows, they said, looks tricky. Why should he suddenly be interested in me? They went to the mother, then to the father's grave, then they were directed to do something. Remember? That something is very important. So try to steal that stick. Try to steal the magic. If you can, it's not magic. But if you cannot accept it. And these two fellows are in process of that. So we are talking about what? We are not talking about the history in Egypt. Are we? Are we, lady? Yes, this time is you. No. Why not? Just because I said so, this is not the way it works. I do not say anything here, except it is written in this book. He said, oh, alas, that I'm talking about you, everything is in you, but you think I'm talking about that Pharaoh and Moses. Listen, I'm talking about you. But be fair. Do you remember his reasoning? He said, be fair. If I say you're bad, you become defensive. If I say someone was bad, you say, okay, the hell with that someone. I want you to look at your shortcomings. I have no other way to make a story to explain it. This is your story. Moses is in you. Pharaoh is in you. You have a brain, you have a heart. Your brain works with knowledge, your heart works with magic. We don't know. Nobody could touch it. But the people who are touched with it, they are our teachers. And this is how they describe it. They say, even the knowledge is not always against spirituality. Because when you say knowledge, you're referring to know-how of the human and the animal and all of that with that utilitarianism as an attitude inside. That's what you're talking about. Okay? There we are. This is a very critical, good part of this book. So if you could, double your attention. Because this story is so difficult that Rumi will invent another story, a very bizarre one, to explain in detail of it, which we'll call it the story of precision. There is this Mr. Precision to tell you precisely where that wrong point is. we'll arrive there. So, for the moment, we are looking at the scene of these two sorcerers, right? Suddenly, everybody is around and Mandal stuff, Rumi stuff, say, oh no, wait a minute, let me tell you something. Bring in one point, which I said this is one of the most famous stories of this book. All over around, and this was my first shock when I was introduced to cybernetics. A book by Norbert Wiener, and he quoted this as the basic to understand cybernetics. You know that it happened that somebody was inviting all the knowledgeable people at home to have these feasts and to have intellectual gatherings and stuff. And a couple of people realized that, look at us, we are the top notch of the science, but we don't understand each other because of these branches of the specialties. Where is the common understanding? That's cybernetics. This is the story of the elephant. He said, there is an elephant brought in a dark room, and the people will go in and try by touching to judge it. Somebody will touch the foot and will say, elephant looks like pillar. The other one will touch the nose and will say, it's like a water hose. The other one will hear and say, this is a fan. What is it? So if each of them had a candle in a hand, all of them will see what elephant is. That light, that's what's missing in knowledge. Because knowledge is in branches, right? And some of them, they cannot even connect. Rumi didn't know it, but scientifically now we know it, that if you are a master, scientific master of, let's say, grand scale, and you study the galaxies, okay, if you're invited in another room, a lot of scientists over there, they are specialists in subatomic particles. What will happen? Whatever they are writing down is wrong to you, because the laws of the big scale doesn't apply over there. Yeah. Remember the wishful dreaming of Albert Einstein to find a unified rule for all of this? We don't know it yet. Different branches. Some are good, some are temporary, some are in between some two periods. This is what the science is. The problem is to have the light to see. This was the story, right? Then, step by step, it started to become more difficult. They said, okay, I told you this, but let me tell you, we are like the boats that they are kicking each other. You are sleeping in the boat of your body, of that shell. And you don't know what the water is, because you don't know the source of life. You don't know the water that is coming to this garden. I'm talking about timeless time. Who is Moses and Pharaoh? I'm talking about one thing here. There is only one thing we believe. Do you remember this? Have I shown you this? Do you remember this? Please remember this. Ha! That's the only thing we know and we're looking for. There is nothing else. Everything else are different, but when I'm talking about Ha, Moses and Pharaoh are just two personalities in this story. Even what I'm speaking now is nonsense, because the subject we're looking at is not something that you could really talk about. I told you that. Do you remember? He told you that. He said, you want to understand what love is? Love is a bird. Means love is a thought, a thinking system. A bird encaged by your merchant. You want to show it off, to deal with it and all that stuff, and that parrot is not happy. That parrot will be happy when joined with the free parrots out of the cage of the merchant, because love doesn't belong to economy. Love is not something to buy and sell, period. He talks about it, remember? Here he brought it again and said, listen, the problem is, if I say to you, then you will be surprised, or you will be shocked if I don't say anything that, oh, pity, I don't know what to say. Or if I bring in an example like this, you will stick to the face of this story. Then you look like a plant. What's wrong with a plant? Rumi has a very lovely poem in his Ghazals, which is one of the loveliest to me. He starts like this, that if the tree could move around, would never suffer from the saw and axes. When the weather is not moving around and it's in a well, it becomes poisonous. Look about sitting still, what it does to the weather. If a water doesn't move, doesn't run, non-running water will be polluted, becomes poisonous. If Joseph didn't get out of the room of his father, he wouldn't be that lovely king in Egypt. And look around and see all the prophets walking, moving around. Don't sit still. Change. This is what he has in mind. Here he will say, listen, you are like a plant in the earth. With the wind you move your head, but you're not moving. You have to take out your feet from the mud you're steeped in. And I know this is not an easy task. This is the moment that Rumi goes through that poetic explanation to explain a part of non-explainable. So we will arrive to a verse that he will say, let go of intelligence, then intelligently listen to me, and close these ears, then listen to what I'm saying. Because I'm talking about a meaning in here, a deep meaning. So let's hear it. Who is the guilty party tonight? The victim? Not even a volunteer? Peter?
I hate to do this most times because it deprives someone else of the pleasure of reading.
Okay, go back and start from 1270.
We are dashing against each other like boats. Our eyes are darkened, though we are in the clear water. O thou who hast gone to sleep in the body's boat, thou hast seen the water. Look on the water as the water. The water hath a water that is driving it.
Do you remember the water? Right from the beginning we saw it, the explanation and all of it. Whenever Rumi will say water, he means knowledge. Always. Not only Rumi, this is a very old stuff that it's in terminology of Sufism all around. When we say water, we mean knowledge. Why? Do you remember these whys? Okay, ask this question